puts me back in Manitoba many moons ago.
You know, we cover many disciplines on the Abandoned Manitoba segment. History, obviously, geography, and every now and then a bit of anthropology. Gordon Goldsborough is here with a little different take on our Abandoned Manitoba segment. We've tried it before. Gordon, good morning.
Good morning, Nadia.
Now tell us what we're going to be talking about today.
Well, a few weeks ago, we had an episode of what I called an abandoned cultural practice, the practice of chivalry or charivari, the harassment of newlyweds. Well, I thought we would carry on in that vein. We would talk about another cultural practice, and in this particular case, although it's not been fully abandoned, it is dying. Now, it's a little sensitive, but what we're talking about today is what we do with the bodies of people who have died. And of course, here in Canada, the prevailing practice for at least the last couple of centuries, at least among the descendants of the European immigrants, is to bury the body in the ground, of course, in a cemetery.
Right. So let's stay with the cemetery for the idea of the cemetery. How old is the oldest cemetery here in Manitoba?
Well, that's a hard question to answer. There are certainly cemeteries that were associated, for example, with many of the major fur trading posts in Manitoba, including places like York Factory and Norway House. And these ones go back to the very, early 1800s. You know, the first burials in the St. Andrews on the Red Cemetery, which is just a little south of Lockport, they go back to the 1830s. And here in Winnipeg, the oldest cemeteries are believed to be the St. James Anglican Cemetery and the Kildonan Presbyterian Cemetery. The first burials in them occurred in sort of the 1850s. So, we have had a tradition of burial in cemeteries for, well over 150 years.
So I want to go back to your clue then, because we're talking about a practice of burying the dead that is waning. Tell us more about that.
Well, in a way, yes. The practice of burying the dead is waning, simply because more and more people today are electing to be cremated after death. And of course, the ashes that result are either buried in the traditional way, or sometimes they're put in other places. And there's all kinds of wild things that are sometimes done with cremains. So for example, listeners may recall that about 3 years ago in this series, we talked about a guy named Reginald Buller. He was one of the early professors at the University of Manitoba, and he requested that after he died in 1944, his body should be cremated. Now, it turned out there was no crematorium in Manitoba at that time, so the cremation was done in Minneapolis, and his ashes came back in a small metal box. And those ashes are now contained in a monument that stands next to the Buller Building, named for him, on the university's Fort Garry campus.
So if there was no crematorium in Manitoba in 1944, when was the first one built?
Well, the interest in having a crematorium goes back quite a long way. In fact, the first reference I could find to it was in 1900. The city of Winnipeg passed a bylaw that would permit the construction of a crematorium, but nothing really came of it at that time. And through the years, there have been a variety of religious denominations that have opposed cremation on the grounds that it violates their beliefs. So for example, in the resurrection of the body after death. But in 1920, for example, the mayor of Winnipeg, a guy named Charles Gray, he announced that he was wholly in favor of building a crematorium. And in fact, his own mother had been cremated. So you see in the newspapers from the 1920s, the 30s, the 40s, periodic proposals to build a crematorium. And pretty much every single one of those encountered strong opposition. So for example, in the late 1940s, there was a plan to build a crematorium at the city's Brookside Cemetery, and it was opposed vigorously by a guy named Slaw Rebchuk. He would actually later serve on the Winnipeg City Council, and he was commemorated, in fact, by a bridge here in Winnipeg, the Slaw Rebchuk Bridge. By the early 1950s, there was still no crematorium in Manitoba, and the nearest ones, at least in Canada, were in Calgary and Toronto. So if you wanted to be cremated, you would have to be sent to one of those places. So as a result, cremation was still not a very widely used option. I found one statistic from the United States that said in 1958, about 4% of all funerals involved cremation.
When did things change?
Well, just around that time, in fact, in June of 1958, the town council in Fort Garry approved the construction of Manitoba's first crematorium. And not surprisingly, public reaction was still mixed. In fact, over 50 angry neighbors of the proposed site for that crematorium appeared before the council to demand that it be withdrawn, arguing that they didn't want to see smoke rising from the crematorium that would kind of remind them of death pretty much all the time. But, you know, the council was undeterred and the construction of that first crematorium went ahead, so that in March of 1959, the Pineview Memorial Gardens and Crematorium was opened officially. It's over on Waverly Street and, well, in fact, they invited the members of the general public to tour the facility to see this new facility.
Do we have any statistics on how many cremations took place?
Well, so far I've been unable to find information on the early cremations by that facility at Pineview. But I did find some annual reports from the Manitoba Vital Statistics Agency. That's the agency that looks after births, deaths, and marriages here in Manitoba. And their reports provide a really revealing picture. So from essentially no cremations in 1959, when that first crematorium was built, the number has risen to 39% by 1994. That's pretty big, from 0% in 59 to 39% in 94. And then, over a 24-year period, from 1994 to 2017, the percentage of deaths involving cremation rose to 66%. You know, in other words, basically two-thirds of all deaths are now involving cremation. I spoke to a local funeral director, and I was told that the proportion does vary a little bit from place to place. You know, it depends on things like the ethnicity of the area, the religion of the area. But at a facility in South Winnipeg, for example, the percentage of cremations there is between 70 and 80%, higher than the provincial average as a whole. And, you know, the interesting thing for me is that the trend is an almost perfect straight line upward. And it increases at a rate of just a little bit over 1% a year. So if it was 66%, in 2017, it would be 67, then 68, then 69, creeping upwards by a percent every year.
Why do you think that's happening?
Well, I think one reason that's sometimes given is that cremation uses less land for burial, you know, because you don't have to bury the entire body, but simply a smaller, you know, container. But, you know, the savings for space, it seems to me, isn't really a relevant argument here in Manitoba, because we have a lot of space. And, you know, and I have seen, for example, many cemeteries around the province that are really scarcely used. So, you know, I think the space issue is not really the main motivator. I think the main benefit of cremation is that it's usually substantially less expensive than a traditional burial. You know, for example, it doesn't require an expensive coffin. So I think it's the cost savings more than anything else that is the motivator.
Do you think the number of cremations will ever reach 100%?
Well, I calculated at the present rate, the number of deaths that involve cremation will be essentially 100% by the year 2044. In other words, 24 years from now, 100%. Now, of course, there will always be people, I think, who oppose cremation on just the principle. So I suspect that percentage will never truly be 100%. But, you know, I find it absolutely remarkable that the method of handling the dead will change so fundamentally in such a short period of time. You know, in basically 80 years, we go from nobody being cremated to potentially as many as everybody being cremated in just 80 years. Now, of course, this does assume that there's no reversal of the cremation trend.
Do you think there ever would be a reversal of the trend?
Well, it's possible. You know, there is growing awareness, for example, that cremation may not be an ideal solution. You know, we know that when we burn things, it generates gases. And cremation does generate carbon dioxide. That's a greenhouse gas that does contribute to global climate change. You know, so there actually is growing interest in what are called green burials that return to the practice of burying intact bodies with the minimal use of toxic embalming chemicals. So, you know, maybe as more people start to embrace green burials, you know, the cremations may again become rare.
I just want to go back to that original crematorium that you mentioned. Is that still in existence?
Well, no. Actually, I was wondering that too. So I contacted the facility and said, you know, do you still have a crematorium? They said, oh, yes, we still do. I said, is it the one that was built in 1959? No. That one has been taken out of operation. They have a much more modern new one now that they use. But no, it's still in operation. That's still that original facility is still going.
Well, thanks for this, Gordon.
Okay, we'll talk again next week.
Well, I hope so. What's the clue?
Well, we're going to visit a small building near Carberry, where a popular winter activity was done in the summer.
We'll have to stay tuned and find out. Gordon, thank you.
See you then.
No matter where I go,
every time the wind blows, puts me back in Manitoba. Many moons.